Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Welcome, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, to the Voice of the American Redoubt. We are broadcasting from the free zones, freer than others anyway. We do have enemy inside the wire. We are contending with those on a daily basis. This is the beginning of Civil War II in America. We didn't ask for it. We didn't bring it. We just wanted to be left alone, live our lives, and prosper. But somebody else decided we should be a different country against our will. So that's what we're dealing with. So we've got a lot to cover. I'm going to bring on Lady Liberty in segment 4. We've got quite a few developments there. One of the main components of warfare, as you all know, is information. Information, disinformation, deception. All of these things come into play, especially when you're dealing with the communists, especially. They love it. That's their comfort zone, is disinformation, lies, and twisted, distorted information, and what they sell off as truth. So let's get started talking about that and kind of peel our way through this. We've got several things to talk about. So in the news and commentary, brought to you by husband and wife Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher, the authors of 299 Days and A Great State series. Those are also out on audiobook. But they have a prepping show, taking your preps to the next level, Prepping 2.0. They do a great job with that. And the website for that is prepping2-0.com. That's prepping2-0.com. Check it out. All right, now I have this meme. I still have this meme in my notes from the last couple of weeks. The same people who said Trump will destroy America are burning America to the ground. I'm just going to keep that there. I think that's, it's so important for us to be reminded, well, not that we really need a reminder, because we're reminded every day, every time we turn on the news or anytime you get on the internet, it's in your face. Unmistakable. Here's another, a great example here. This former Occupy group, they've been kind of quiet lately. Well, they're saying now, well, they're operating under a new hashtag White House Siege. This group plans to occupy the White House. Seriously, here in a couple of weeks, they plan to lay siege to the White House, and with the hopes of eventually occupying the White House. Well, truth be told, what they want to do is occupy the White House again, because the communists already did occupy the White House for 8 years. So you had your chance. Now get out. They're tossed out like bums into the street where they belong. That's where communists, well, that's where they belong until they're ground up like they need to be. There's BLM marches now taking place all over the place. And this one in Indianapolis, they're blocking the streets. Motorists are just trying to drive down the street. All of a sudden they encounter this Black Lives Matter, which is all a bunch of white, pasty, soy kids with skinny jeans and communist garb and everything else. So this blue truck tries to get around this group to be on his way. And he gets stepped in front of by this Antifa thug, this communist revolutionary, with a handgun in the lower ready position, standing in front of the truck, basically daring him. So he can say, well, I was defending myself when I shot the driver because, you know, trying to run me over with a vehicle is that's lethal force, and I have the right to defend myself. Right. When you run in front of it, right? So you can provoke someone. This is just nothing but provoking violence. Especially when you come with a hand-drawn, that's brandishing a firearm. I would contend that the truck, he's only 5 feet away from this. He could have punched it and defended himself against the person who's brandishing a firearm, clearly threatening the driver. He could have ran him over before he could have gotten a shot off. But things are pushing. Now there's violence that's inching its way further and further daily. Just, I think it was earlier yesterday. When was it? Maybe it was yesterday or this morning. Some Antifa in Colorado, outside of Denver, tried... they attacked a veteran in a wheelchair. This was strange footage, too, because this was like in a residential neighborhood. This looked like typical suburbia, like over the hedge, you know, typical American, subdivision. So I don't know how Antifa got rolled up in this neighborhood, but they were doing something. They encountered this veteran. There were some veterans who were demonstrating with their carrying American flags and whatnot. Well, a fight broke out. And apparently there was some type of march taking place that was in support of the police. Several of these where Antifa has shown up to try to pick a fight. And those standing with the police they're ready for a fight too. And that's, heads are coming, they're going to start getting broke pretty soon. Reminds me of the prophecy that we heard last week, or that we referred to. Many of you guys, most all of you have watched it by now. Where in September, there's going to be another escalation where we're actually going to start seeing like gun battles in America over this communist revolution. It's going to keep getting worse until we treat it like a communist revolution, like it is. They're combatants. Once they start shooting people and gunning people down, they are combatants at that point, in my opinion. But we'll see. Just pray for peace. Strive for peace. Look for a peaceful solution, if at all possible. But be ready to defend life, liberty, property, our American heritage, our families, our neighborhoods, our country, with force if we have to, if we are pressed into that. Africa is going to become the testing ground for this trust stamp. A vaccine record, and a biometric digital payment system. This just came out this afternoon on globalresearch.ca. It's a new biometric identity platform partnered with the Gates-funded GAVI Vaccine Alliance and MasterCard will launch in West Africa and combine COVID-19 vaccinations, cashless payments, and potential law enforcement applications. Oh, there's no potential. That's guaranteed. This is the framework for a globalist enforcement system, a global governance system, including law enforcement, tracking citizens. There's no question about it. This is what we're identifying through our discernment is what the SPLC would label us as, conspiracy theorists. Of course, until it becomes headlines and is actually, proven to be true, where it's undeniable, then they'll say, oh, but it's necessary. Why are you fighting something that's such a good thing? But while we see it coming on the horizon, we call it for what it is, and they call us conspiracy theorists. Then once it takes place, they go, yeah, so why do you have a problem with it? It's for your own good. Why are you going against something that's good for the betterment of all of humanity, comrade? So this biometric, this is part two, but I just became aware of this, what Lady Liberty and I were talking about last week and have been talking about during the week on our morning commute, about this new biometric system using this nanotechnology that incorporates this glowing luciferin and Luciferase, or the Lucifer race, is incorporated into this, what will become the vaccine. And so now Africa, why? Because they can't defend themselves. And plus, the governments over there are so corrupt that they'll go along with anything as long as you just throw them some money. And so now this biometric digital identity platform that, quote unquote, evolves just as you evolve, is set to be introduced in low-income, remote communities. Easy pickings. That's called exploitation right there. In West Africa, thanks to a public-private partnership, ding, 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 all kinds of red flags should be going off right there. Public-private partnership is, as Lady Liberty's pointed out in her book, and well articulated in The Perils of Sustainable Development, documented, like almost a decade ago, documented all of this stuff. Private or public-private partnerships is fascism in the true dictionary sense, not just like you're a fascist, you're a Nazi. I mean, for real fascism. And the United Nations loves that model. It ties perfectly with global communism, socialism, fascism, all of this kind of like a hybrid global governance system. But they do this through public-private partnerships between the Bill Gates-backed Gavi Vaccine Alliance, this G-A-V-I. So here's this public-private partnership between the Bill Gates-backed Gavi Vaccine Alliance, MasterCard, and the AI-powered, that's artificial intelligence-powered identity authentication company, Trust Stamp. So this is what it's going to be called. This is what we were saying, this global, this vaccine passport. Here it is. It's going to be the Trust Stamp. Wow, they're good. If you have this stamp, well, we can trust you. You're trustworthy. You can get on that plane. You can shop in this store. You can have this, open up this banking account. Why? Because you have a trust stamp. The program, which was first launched in late 2018, will see Trust Stamp's digital identity platform integrated into the Gavi MasterCard wellness pass. There you go. There's your immunity passport or your vaccine passport. Well, they're calling it a wellness pass, a digital vaccine record and identity system that is also linked to MasterCard's click-to-play system that's powered by its AI and machine learning technology called New Data. Anyway, I'm not going to read the whole article to you, but that was quite sufficient right there, enough hopefully to get your attention. You can read more about that at globalresearch.ca. The title of that is Africa Testing Ground Trust Stamp Vaccine Record Payment System. You put all that in your DuckDuckGo or whatever your safe searches, you can go right to it. So what else we got here? Oh, another one before we take a break. While you're looking the other way and watching COVID stuff, TED Talk. You guys familiar with TED Talk? Is they talk about a lot of some social issues, but technology meets society type of talks. Generally, very informative, very interesting. But there's one here. They allowed this to happen. A liberal TED Talk speakers trying to convince you that pedophilia is a natural sexual preference and that society should accept it. That just happened over at, let's see, there's a new video. This was on social media that somebody sent this to me. It's under pedophile updates. Liberal tech talk speakers trying to convince you that pedophilia is a natural sexual preference and society should accept that these people are sick, the poster said. And there's a screenshot of it right there. This is beyond sick. But this is also something that we said, this is where they ultimately want to take this to, will be pedophilia. Oh, that's ridiculous. You're overreacting. You're just trying to demonize people just because they have a different lifestyle than you. And it's because two men want to live their lives together, two women, and you don't like it, so you're trying to really make these people out to be monsters by saying they're after children. Well, they are after children. And here's the proof. Look at Hollywood. Talking about sickos. Got some good news. Culp for governor. This is just great. It's not looking good for Inslee. In fact, they are already so close, it's just absolutely unbelievable. Fortunately, Inslee has shot himself in the foot and then the other foot, and then he keeps alternating every time he makes a move. So here's some of the ammunition that they list here. Inslee releases hardened criminals into our communities who reoffend and commit murders. He ignores the riots in Seattle, pretends that he doesn't even know that they're going on. Hasn't even heard of them. The drug abuse and the crime is out of control, which, by the way, Culp, his solution to this, night and day difference. Success from a former police officer, right? Also, Culp wishes he wasn't in charge when the virus hit. Well, I would say goodbye, Inslee. It's time for you to go. You should just resign now because you're so grossly incompetent. Not to be compared with Brad Little, who should actually also just resign, but for a different reason. Brad Little doesn't wish that he wasn't in charge when the virus hit. He's just in fine form here. So we're going to talk about that. He's being his feet held to the fire. The Idaho governor. The governor of the epitome of conservative, patriot, right-wing, red state, Idaho. And he's the governor. No thanks to Boise and the southern Idaho. But yeah, we're going to talk about that when we get back. Representative Heather Scott asked some questions, got some answers that were very revealing. I'll share that with you right after the break. So stay right there. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and 6-hour pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
I've been trying to find a smell. It's not a country that I miss. I wanted to grab your hand. It was holding on to something. The woman stared into my eyes, and there was nothing she could find. I swore that I'd be nice if you promised we'd be fine. We'll never go back to California.
Welcome back to segment two of Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the American Redoubt. And this is the 27th podcast of 2020, or episode 20-27. Segment two is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com is the website to go to find out where you can get some help to get yourself strategically relocated to the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho. Speaking of Idaho, the Patriots, we've got a rhino governor, and that's putting it mildly to call him a rhino. He needs to resign. Governor, you need to resign tomorrow, Monday. You need to just resign. You do not deserve to be in that position. You've betrayed the citizens of Idaho. You're giving, you're not standing up to the reputation of Idaho as being a conservative bastion. You're not conservative. Well, I've got an update from Representative Heather Scott, where Governor Brad Little announced just a couple days ago he will be calling the Idaho legislature into a special session during the week of August 24th. Now, they tried to hold a special session. They couldn't get enough people to show up, sadly. But the whole point of this for the conservative patriots is to make sure that some things are adjusted here, like to ensure that the authority to call for an emergency situation is very limited powers under the state of an emergency. So that's one of the things that they're hoping to accomplish here. Now, Idaho Code 46-1008 says no state or of disaster emergency may continue for longer than 30 days unless the governor finds that it should be continued for another 30 days or any part thereof. The legislature, by concurrent resolution, may terminate a state of disaster emergency at any time. Thereupon, the governor shall issue an executive order or proclaim the ending of the state of disaster emergency. So, apparently, a governor can temporarily declare an emergency for up to 30 days. And then here's what he's doing, though. He keeps extending it over and over and over. Keeps extending this so-called emergency, state of emergency. And the legislature's like, that's enough. That's enough. So what needs to happen here is that limitations, just like I said a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and 3 weeks ago, limitations need to be placed on all of these governors so that they can declare a disaster, a state of emergency, as a rapid response to some type of unforeseen disaster situation, to give enough time. It should be mandated that these legislatures convene within a reasonable time frame, and they could have since February, they could have convened 8 times by now. There's no reason why the legislatures of these states could not have convened by now to examine the science and the evidence and to determine that there is not truly a disaster, that this is not truly an emergency. It doesn't meet the definition of a pandemic. And to start investigating some of the fraud that's taking place and to limit these governors' powers, dictatorial powers. They're essentially grabbing power that was never intended for them to have. So, Heather Scott asked the governor, if the emergency is declared over, does the CARES money or the money spigot, the faucet, turn off for federal money? The governor's general counsel, Brian Wunderlich, confirmed yes, the federal dollars are contingent on there being an emergency. This is a huge, huge problem. So the bottom line is no emergency, quote unquote, no more government spending frenzies with our tax dollars. That's not even our tax dollars, really. This is just printed up out of nowhere. This is not based off of tax dollars. You could not even tax the people enough money to be able to pay back all the debt that we've incurred as a nation now. This is beyond tax dollars. But I get the point. So she's saying, I hope in the legislature will be brave enough to end this rolling emergency on August 24th. And so she left us with some statistics here. Some current data from the CDC. In 2019, Idaho total deaths from all cases from January to June were 7,091. In 2020, Idaho total deaths, all cases, from January to June of 2020 is 7,079. So in 2019, we had 7,091 deaths. in 2019, last year. This year, from the same time period, January to June, 7,079. So last year, when there was not a pandemic and millions of people are flopping over dead in the streets, compared to this year, when we're millions of people are falling over and dying in the streets, the death rate is virtually the same. Last year, 7,091. This year, 7,079. 7,091 versus 7,079. So, actually, less. This is not an emergency. This is not even a pandemic. This is a scam. They're taking a real virus that the Chinese communists are responsible for. It's not nearly anywhere close to being as deadly as they portrayed it to be. No more than we're not losing any more people than the regular flu. We didn't destroy our economy over the flu. But there's a great article over at Uncover DC that talks about Idaho's Governor Brad Little restricting pharmacists from dispensing hydroxychloroquine for off-label use. Since that time, Idaho Governor Brad Little restricted pharmacists from dispensing hydroxychloroquine. I just read it again, in case you weren't paying attention the first time. Since that time, 217 Idahoans have died from COVID-related deaths. If that's even true. But let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say 100 have died from COVID-related deaths. Because we know that even that's been just nothing but a sham. You know what? Let's say there's 217 Idahoans who have died from COVID-related deaths. That's 217 people out of almost 2 million. That is a fraction of a fraction of a percentage of Idahoans who have died. Same numbers that died last year when we didn't have this pandemic. But if this was from COVID-related deaths, there's 217 people that probably would have been alive if this hydroxychloroquine was allowed to be disseminated. And they asked a valid question. Since when did a governor have the authority to determine for a doctor what the best course of action is to treat something? Because this hydroxychloroquine has saved multiple people. All these doctors have testified to this. So the writer here asked the question, why did Governor Little block the use of hydroxychloroquine for off-label use the day before it became an issue at the National Coronavirus Press Briefing? And since when does a governor get to tell doctors what they can or cannot prescribe? Excellent questions. Well, you're not going to get a real honest answer. The bottom line is, this governor needs to resign. So now he's trying to get liability, protect himself from liability, trying to exempt himself. I don't think so. You don't get off the hook. Look, if you want to declare an emergency that's resulted because you're getting paid who knows how much money, that now we've just discovered, let's use this claim, Governor. 217 Idahoans have died from COVID-related deaths. You specifically prevented, according to these reports, you've prevented doctors from dispensing hydroxychloroquine for this. Now 217 people are dead, and you want to claim immunity through all this while raking in who knows how much money. You need to resign. And then I think this needs to be investigated. And I think that criminal charges should follow. This is criminal. This is criminal. If I were put in charge, if I were just a magic wand was waved and I was instantly put in charge of the world, these type of governors, these type of people would be hanging. It would be the death penalty. If I were the king of the world and I could deal with people that are doing this kind of stuff right here, it's preposterous. But I'm not in charge, and I won't be in charge. I'm not going to ever be in charge. So I'm just saying, if I was, that's what I would do. That's how angry this makes me, that these people are able to do this whole, this beautiful article. It's just incredible. The state of Idaho receives $100,000 for every COVID patient, and because nothing has been published otherwise, hospitals are still receiving $13,000 for every COVID patient admitted and $39,000 for every COVID patient that requires a ventilator. And he asked the question, why is this governor seeking immunity? The consensus among many Idahoans is that Little, Governor Little, would not be seeking immunity unless his lawyers were telling him to do so. Attorney Colton Boyles, founding partner of Boyles Law in Sandpoint, Idaho, told this author, it is quite possible Governor Little is guilty of practicing medicine without a license. Idaho law is clear about who can diagnose and treat a disease, and for a non-licensed elected official to determine how a medicine is to be used or not used may be crossing that line. That's just one example he gives about where this governor has crossed the line. He needs to resign. You have no business. Jay Inslee needs to resign from Washington State. Kate Brown Shirt needs to resign from Oregon. Governor Brad Little needs to resign tomorrow, Monday. You guys need to step down. You are not the elitist you think you are. You're pathetic, and your actions are criminal. And they're disgusting, they're repulsive, and they're not becoming of somebody holding your office. You need to resign. We'll be back with segment three right after this. Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then, let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more. Good evening, or good morning if you guys are listening to the in the morning to the downloaded version. But hello everyone, welcome back to segment three of The Voice of the American Redoubt. Segment three is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. These guys are subject matter experts on helping you get the most out of your property. If you need help with this, for defensibility, for land, laying out your property, for food production, for alternative energy, all of this. You basically, you know you need it, but you don't know how to go about doing it. Maybe just move from suburbia. This is outside of your wheelhouse. You need some expert advice. That's what these guys do. StrategicLandscapeDesigns.com. Also help you secure your water rights. That is critical. It's crucial, especially here in the West. With the water wars going on, you need to know how to legally secure your water rights, because they can be snatched away from you, and you don't even realize it if you don't do certain things right, correctly, and file correct paperwork and water rights, how to search, all of that stuff. So anyway, I just thought of that as well. StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. There's an article at Breitbart.com. Democrats are wargaming for election, including a West Coast secession possible and a civil war. So on Tuesday, every Tuesday with AMRA on the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, it's a nationwide, actually international network of radio operators who practice and train for emergencies and disasters. So what we do each Tuesday is we distribute a new AMRON intelligence brief, or it's called an AIB. And the AIB that came out this Tuesday included this article right here as well. It's just a small blurb of it because it's sent, you know, over amateur radio, you know, all across the country to all states, to out the local nets to folks, so they can practice handling real world news and emergency traffic as if this were, it's for practicing. So we tried to find real-world news and information for them to practice with each week as they distribute that through their practice nets. So this net was here. This news article was here, and it was put out during the nets in this week's Ameron Intelligence Brief, or AIB. Democrats are contemplating secession and potential civil war as they game out possible scenarios for a closely contested election, according to a report by Ben Smith in a New York Times column on Sunday, this last Sunday. Now, most of these people that are in this little think tank are leftists. They're politicians, they're former military, they're academia, they're, you know, all these elitists. And so they're looking at the possibility even of a civil war, including if Trump wins. When Trump wins, they are going to flip out. So they're even wargaming this. Now, wargaming, for if you're not familiar with this, is a term we'd use in the military planning strategists. And just, you know, for training purposes, you war game something. So what you do is you look at a potential scenario, and then you run each potential outcome and influencing factors to ground. So you can, by the time you come out the other side of this war gaming, and it doesn't have to necessarily be war. It could be anything like elections, right? So what potential influencing factors could cause a reaction? What would the most likely thing that would occur to cause this disruption? What would be the effects of that? How would people respond? You know, who could enter the race and surprise everything? What type of surprise event is the most probable type of an event that could have an effect on this? So basically, you're wargaming it. You're just looking at all the different potential influencing factors and all the potential outcomes, and then kind of assigning a scale of probability to each one of those potential outcomes. That's wargaming. So these guys are wargaming the elections and looking at President Trump, the possibility of him winning, and what would happen, and the possibility of the various different reactions or responses by the two polar opposite political sides here. So they're looking at potential secession by the Western states, California, Oregon, and Washington. Yeah, that would kind of kick some stuff off. So we were watching this very closely. I think they're very, very desperate. I think they're very afraid of President Trump becoming president again. And I think that there is nothing beyond what these people are capable of conceiving and attempting and even carrying out in order to wrestle control away from President Trump and the American people and escalate things to create the chaos to shift control and power over to an internationally governing body, potentially even with the use of foreign troops, namely China and Russia. There's something we've been following for decades. And I think that's becoming an increasingly probable scenario. So that's all I'm going to say on that. We're just going to continue to watch this and observe this. But it's not just crazy talk. We're just, just a bunch of right-wing conservatives are talking about this stuff. You actually have these left-wing think tanks that are strategizing what to do if Trump wins and what the possible outcomes of that are. I believe that an assassination attempt on Trump is not beyond these people. I also believe that escalating things to fighting in the streets with open warfare, with running gun battles, are not beyond what these people are capable of instigating. Right now, there's a lot of talk about, you know, how to prepare with this financial collapse. It would result in a global economic collapse, which is engineered, I believe. Matt Bracken just came out with a video. I agree with him. Things are about ready to get dicey. Matt Bracken talks about the declining value of the fiat currency and how ammo is a better buy than gold and silver. Then he gets into the nitty-gritty of the communist program that is headed our way. Keep your guns oiled and your cheeks tight. Things are going to get interesting. So that's this person's posting here where they posted a link to this video by Matt Bracken. I concur. Matter of fact, I think unless you have a large amount of wealth, you know, if you have tens of thousands of dollars, you're trying to find out how, you know, figure out how to protect it. Even then, it would have to be $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 that I think before I'd even concern myself with getting into gold and diversifying that way. I think that liquidable assets that are going to have value in the times that we're coming up in are a smarter way to go. I think somebody who's starving to death, they don't want your gold. It means nothing to them. I think that, no, gold, and trying to hand gold to somebody versus trying to hand them a box of ammo, that's what's going to make their eyes light up. I think that weapons and ammo are going to be probably literally worth their weight in gold at some point in the future. I think it's much more liquidable. I think it would be much more desirable, especially when you're talking about things that are going to help people sustain their lives and add security to them. I agree with his assessment here. And I couldn't get that video to load either. It's at banned video. It wouldn't load. But he guest hosted on the Alex Jones show and started talking about how to stock up on ammunition and so on. So I haven't seen that part yet. I'm looking forward to checking that out this week. At shtftoday.news, it's a blog site. SHTF is in Stuff Hits the Fan Today.news. They have an interesting article over there. Actually, they have several interesting articles. I kind of like some of their stuff, and I like to, you know, just looking over it. But there's one here, Lessons from the Roman Army for Post-SHTF Combat Operations. Let's fix them, set the enemy up, and zap them. Let's do a few things that the Romans were famous for, using these techniques here and now. So, yeah, I'm just go over some of these with you and take, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes covering these. You can read the whole thing yourself over there at shtftoday.news. And just, you can just do an internet search. Lessons from the Roman Army for Post-SHTF Combat Operations. So here's item one. Let's run right down them. Choose the ground. Yes, you choose the place you will engage them. Along with this, you pick the time of day, the formation of the attack, the objective, and the criteria for withdrawal. You choose it. That's called taking the initiative or keeping the initiative. You choose it. As an individual, you would be sniping. As a group, depending on your numbers and composition, you can engage in operations limited by your size. Choosing the ground means also to actively recon the enemy and not allow him to choose it and catch you unaware. So there's item one. I'm going over this stuff here because there's more and more talk about us going into civil war. These are things you need to start thinking strategically about as we move forward. Item two, prep the ground. The Roman army were masters of this task. They scouted the area, and with thorough intel, they knew where their enemies were, actions these people planned on taking, and the avenues of approach. They cut timber and created obstacles of logs interlaced with natural barbed wire in the form of thorns and thistles, along with spikes and stakes to limit enemy cavalry. Long before William Wallace of Braveheart was ever a thought, the Roman legions spread out hay soaked with pitch and oil in areas where enemy foot soldiers would move and applied flaming arrows when the time was right. They always took the high ground when possible and used the natural terrain features, cliffs, rivers, etc., to form boundaries to help them channel the enemy. Number three, always fight with the sun at your back. Well, you can't say always in this case. Sometimes you got to fight at night, right? But then there's night vision capabilities. But Here's the rules for the Romans. Always fight with the sun at your back. Great advice. The Romans positioned themselves and attacked to place the sun in the eyes of their enemies. I know, the enemy has Ray-Bans, right? No, it worked for the Viet Cong as well. When they're looking into the sun, they're at a severe disadvantage. Use the sun, use the terrain, live with the land, and live. All right, next, this author writes, speculators, the speculatores, the deep cover operatives, the special forces and reconnaissance warriors of the Roman Empire. You need operatives in your unit with the ability to do deep penetration of an enemy's defenses, whether in their midst unsuspectingly or observing them from a nearby locale, operating on their own ground, unbeknownst to them. You need one or two people who can get the job done and provide you with deep cover intel you'll need to make decisions. Number 5, alliances. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Not always so, but you can use such rifts to your advantage with other groups who your enemy is at odds with. Here is where diplomacy, teamwork, and political acumen or savvy comes into play. These non-combat skills are just as important to fixing your enemy as any of the actual missions you will undertake to defeat him. Be skilled at making appliances, and do not make them just for the sake of socializing. This is an art that we will cover more in depth in future pieces. Next, feed them disinformation. Yes, the Romans were very adept at sending messages or planting information that was false. This regarded their strengths, their movements, supplies, and reinforcements. Sun Tzu was not the only one with a knowledge of how to monopolize disinformation, and he wasn't the first to employ it. All right, lure them and stake them. The Roman army would plant different things out in front of an approaching enemy force in order to delay and distract them, making them ripe for an attack or an ambush. You can do the same and make it fall in line with the enemy you'll be facing. Quick question. How many of you have Russian or Chinese canned delicacies such as borscht or caviar for the former, or imported Chinese canned foods and fineries for the latter? Because you may be able to use it to lure such if they ever come to this country and set a trap on or in it, or place shooters in an overwatch position overlooking it, because you may need prisoners. And what better way to lure them in than with a carton of their own cigarettes or their own liquor that they may would think to be safe? Of course, it's a nice idea, but don't underestimate the intelligence of your enemy. Some things are so obvious that it just may not work. So, all right, number 8, the violence of action in a controlled manner. The Romans did not win their mastery over all of Europe and most of the Middle East by conducting drill and ceremony. They were trained, skilled killers, and understood that the thing that made the empire possible was the discipline and aggression of the individual legionnaire. 9, a perfect chain of command. Modern militaries all have a chain of command and an order of succession for someone to fill the vacancy at all levels when a commander buys the farm, so to speak. You need to be able to enable each member of your team to be able to step into the shoes and position of the leader and take charge to continue with the mission. And finally, number 10, discipline. This encompasses all areas. A quote-unquote guerrilla fighter, whether fighting off marauders from a neighboring town post-SHTF, or a tyrannical oppressive government or a foreign invader, the guerrilla needs to be disciplined. Physical toughness, adherence to standard operating procedures, a cool head, and iron nerves, and endurance. The ability to keep this up for years, to go the distance. These are the things that the Romans kept focused upon and central to their legions for many centuries. Anyway, great article. You can read that yourself, or the entire article, over at shtftoday.news.blog. I'll do an internet search there if that doesn't come up like that right away. Lessons from the Roman Army, post-SHTF combat operations. This is Radio Free Redoubt. We'll be back with segment four and codename segment four, which you all know affectionately as Lady Liberty, right after this.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want a secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food and security, surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. At www.revrealty.us, you can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
Welcome back to the fourth and final segment, segment four of Radio Free Redoubt, episode 20-27, rounding things out. And we have codename segment four here with us. How you doing, Lady Liberty?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm doing good. I just rounded up. I knew you were doing research and everything, you know, outside the studio in your little cubby there while I was doing one through three. But I'll be looking forward to us listening to this together tomorrow after the morning commute show to discuss some of the stuff, especially some of the things that I discovered that I covered in the news and commentary with this new trust COVID pass. I mean, this thing that we've been talking about, right?
Right.
Pretty spooky stuff.
Oh, I know.
Bill Gates' fingerprints are all over it.
You know, I'm sorry, but it keeps getting creepier and creepier. Like, this is as much as you could ever imagine it possibly being bad, it's all being exposed as being that bad right now.
I know. Just absolutely. Just it's amazing. I want to find this. They're going to start testing it in Africa. It's called the Wellness Pass, and it's going to be tied in with MasterCard. It's other AI technology. That's this learning technology called New Data. I mean, this is as one world government mark of the beast.
That is the mark of the beast. Yep. Right there. That's what we've been waiting for, where they were going to link it to money. That was the last piece of criteria that we were waiting for, and that's it.
Yeah. And so the testing is going to be taking place soon. I mean, like right away, they're going to be testing it in Africa. So remember we were saying just within weeks we could see the mark of the beast, right?
Right.
Maybe not. Like, you must have it. It won't be recognizable as the mark of the beast yet, but essentially it'll just be, all they have to do is rename it and then make it mandatory. Right now it's the mark of the beast in testing phase right now.
And I suspect, like they have incrementally implemented everything else, I suspect that they will incrementally force this also, because they can keep up in the ante. So they'll get another segment of people to go for it, and it'll scare the next group enough to where, you know, they'll get another segment. So incrementally they're going to be forcing this upon everybody is what I'm guessing.
Right. Yeah. They're calling it Trust Stamp is the name of the program.
Trust. Yeah. There's a great
trust
word.
Us. Yeah. Really? You can trust us.
Nothing deceptive about that.
That's right. Okay. So this was, I mean, here I am going, the listeners already heard that in segment one. I'm looking forward to you going over that tomorrow, us, so we can discuss it together. But you've been doing some of your own research, some other more creepy stuff going on.
That's right. There's no end. You know, there's a never-ending supply of creepy things going on. And so, unfortunately, you know, here we are supposed to be sharing the good news, the gospel, right?
Well, I thought about maybe we should start up a podcast, but I just can't figure out what we would talk about.
I know.
How would we think of what to talk about?
We'd run out of stuff after like 2 minutes, right? Well, okay, so what I've been going over is some of this information about this TikTok app that is owned by China. And it turns out that this TikTok app is actually spyware from the Chinese Communist Party, more or less, because they're the ones that are in control of all the technology that comes from China.
And so for the listeners who may not be familiar with social media and apps and things, TikTok is a social media app, much like Twitter, Facebook,
right.
Instagram. It's a video social media where you video conference with each other and your friends and things like that.
Right. Only they're saying that TikTok is way more invasive as to how much information is actually being harvested from all of the users. Apparently, they have reverse engineered this app and found that it was collecting just an enormous amount of personal information, like so much more than other apps, you know, such as Facebook.
More
and Twitter.
Than Facebook?
Yep, more than Facebook, more than Twitter. And not only that, but it says that, you know, this is actually Chinese government malware masquerading as a social media app, and that Gary Malevsky is a cybersecurity expert and publisher of Cyber Defense magazine, and he agreed, noting that the app's potential was definitely for espionage. So he said, if you want to spy on a country, why send in a spy the old-fashioned way? Why not just send in a great app and make it go viral, he told this article.
Right.
And so what they were finding also is that, last year in 2019, TikTok paid $5.7 million in fines to settle a U.S. government charge that it had illegally collected personal information from users under the age of 13 in violation of the child privacy laws. And so they're going after all of it. And then
you can violate the privacy of adults, but not if
children.
You're under 13.
That's right.
Oh, I see.
And so, well, I don't know why the line for children is 13 and how that escaped from 18 down to 13, but still. So even before then, in 2014, Chinese hackers stole from the U.S. Office of Personal Management personal information detailed in the security clearances of millions of current and former federal employees. And it says that same year, Chinese hackers breached Anthem Inc., a health insurance company, to steal the personal records of 80 million people. And this year, four Chinese military officers were indicted for the 2014 hack of credit reporting agency Equifax, which resulted in the theft of 145 million Americans' financial records. So
I still don't even understand why we're allowing communist Chinese people to be here at all, period.
I know.
We're at war with them.
Yeah.
They are taking our country down. We keep playing patty cakes with them, like looking the other way, pretending, acting like it won't happen so it won't be true. If we just pretend it's not true, then it won't be true.
Right.
I don't get it. It's just.
And so, I mean, this happened in 2014. So, gosh, that was 6 years ago, and we're still not kicking them out of the country, you know?
Right. We're not talking TikTok there. We're talking about with the breach of.
Right.
Because I was one of those. I remember when I was a DOD contractor. You know, we had all had security clearances, and all of your background information, all those files, were breached. I got a letter from the Department of Defense saying your name was in a database that was doesn't mean my information was breached or compromised. It was just they notified everybody in that time frame who had been in that had background checks done on themselves or on them. Basically, you could have your stuff could have been grabbed, we don't know yet, type of a letter.
Right. And so what they're saying in this article is that one of the analysts said that among the tens of millions of young TikTok users in America, many are targets that the Communist Chinese Party is keen to spy on or exploit for blackmail. These include congressional staffers, Silicon Valley engineers, research lab assistants, and journalists. So it's interesting that they are, in fact, they'll collect every stroke that you make, every couple seconds, every key stroke. Yeah, they will. It's being logged and held in their own databases.
Well, plus your facial recognition.
Yep.
All of the AI is able to gather information from your surroundings. Every person that's in the picture with you or in the background is identifying them. It's cataloging voice patterns, facial recognition, location data, all of your connections, your location, everything.
Right.
And this is not just for marketing. I mean, you know, Google, is it true Google removed their slogan, "Do No Evil," that they removed it?
Oh, I don't know.
Someone told me that. I need to verify that. But, I mean, Google does the same thing, right? But their whole thing is, you know, this is marketing purposes. Of course, the CIA, NSA, it's just for marketing, right?
Yeah. You know, and
they hate competition, so.
Right. Well, and it was just like that guy said. He said, you know, why even send a spy into the country when you can just, you know, use your salesmanship to sell this great app to everybody, and everybody gives
it's
away
fun.
Their information, you know, fast as they can give it away. And so what's most interesting about this is that this article states, popular Chinese video app has until September 15th to reach a deal with Microsoft or be banned from the USA. And so,
whoa, Microsoft,
you know, how are they? I'm sorry, but you and I are sitting here doing a podcast, and we're not dumb enough to do that, right? How is it possible that they would be dumb enough to think that it's okay to have China being kicked out, but to just give it to Microsoft, who has most of their industry in China?
Okay, so this is really strange. So Microsoft, the founder, Bill Gates, is in bed with the Chinese 6 ways from Sunday.
He talks to the president personally on the phone all the time.
Right. President 11 of China, right? It's the XI.
Yeah. Yeah.
I call him President 11. It's Roman numeral 11.
Yeah. What, you say that? Chi or Xi?
Xi. It's just easier to say 11.
Yeah, 11. There we go. That works for me.
So, yeah, Bill Gates and President 11 of China are on, you know, first name basis.
Yeah. And so how is it possible that it's okay if Microsoft buys it? That's like saying, well, it's okay if China sells it back to China.
Right.
That's
exactly
the same thing. So let me just read this really quick. It what they put here is, I don't know, kind of mind-boggling, but it says potential Microsoft deal. Grabowski welcomed Trump's decision to ban the app, but expressed concerns about a big tech company like Microsoft being the buyer. He feared that such an acquisition would enlarge the firm's market power, allowing it to exploit its outsized presence to crush smaller competitors. Microsoft owning such a popular social media app will add to their unfair advantage, he said. This may end up being a case of taking two steps forward and one step back. I'd say it's way worse than that.
Yeah.
Because Microsoft, I mean, my
gosh, all spyware now anyway. Windows 10 is reporting everything that you do on a laptop back to Microsoft.
And look at what Microsoft and Bill Gates are trying to do. They're trying to kill everybody with vaccines.
They're
right?
trying to create a global artificial intelligence database that handles your currency, your medical records, your identity. It's going to be used to control everything, your compliance with a global governance system.
Right. I actually.
And now Microsoft needs to be working.
Do they really need that whole database? No. There's probably no worse company to sell TikTok to.
Right. They need to just kick TikTok out.
And all of Microsoft, Bill Gates, everything.
Yeah, send them all to China too.
Yeah, exactly. Just have a move.
We need a whole new system. We need a
restart.
We just need Jesus to come back because there's no fixing this. It's so deep. The web is so intricately woven into everything.
I think one of the saddest parts for me is watching all of our youth, our young people, so totally brainwashed.
I know.
And
hostile
and
against
hostile
somebody who's
against us.
Right.
We are them.
Right.
And to think that they've been robbed of their history, education, first of all.
To.
They've been lied to. through thick and thin, and now it's caused this hatred that is so you know, virulently supported through the mass media that, you know, here now they're attacking their own country. They've convinced their own youth to attack their own country.
Right. Self-mutilation.
It's unbelievable. I think that is suicidal. One of the saddest parts of all of it. Well, that and
it's built on lies, and when you try to tell them the truth, they turn on you
almost venomously.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yep.
Yeah, just,
I know.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, and so that is what we're looking at. We're looking at, yeah, Jesus, you're coming back, right?
Oh, he is.
We are looking for the flash of lightning from east to west. Yep. Is what we are.
Flash. Boom. Yes. Gone. It could happen. It could happen this fall.
Next fall. That's right.
It's we're getting closer. I of course I'm saying fall, but that's a whole other discussion, right?
Well,
when you start looking at the feasts and the trumpets and the Feast of Trumpets
and what they mean
feast of
symbolically.
Tabernacles. Yeah.
Yep.
And so that's a lot of some fun and fascinating stuff to research and to read up and follow. So
right.
But it is getting closer, there's no doubt.
Well, it says that the wise man will be able to recognize these signs and start looking up. And we are recognizing these signs. So
yep, and we're looking up.
And we're looking up.
Yep. So,
for sure.
We'll see how much of this we have to go through. We're not exempt from persecution.
That's right.
We're told to expect it. So
that's right. And it does say, pray that you be found worthy to not have to go through the tribulation. Yeah. And so we are keeping that in mind and fervently praying that on a regular basis, because apparently some are not going to be found worthy. And
right.
I sure don't want to be one of those.
Uh-uh. Nope.
So, no, sir.
Okay, so, well, we need to wrap things up, but thank you for that TikTok. If you've got TikTok in your family, your kids, get it off. It is literally a foreign government's Chinese communist
spyware
government espionage tracking. That's tracking your family, your history, your facial recognition, and this is a foreign government that is hostile toward the United States and to all of us, building an artificial intelligence database with the assistance now potentially with Microsoft.
I know.
They are so tied in with all of the, and I don't know what's going to happen with all of the manufacturing over there in Wuhan, where and that whole river basin
where it's all flooded. Right.
So there's going to be some major changes in the world in the coming months.
That's right.
Next year, it'll be unrecognizable. Almost like where you don't recognize America now, just go to the store.
Right.
And you don't recognize America. I wanted to take you, I'm telling the audience, I wanted to take Lady Liberty to go see some really cool things in Colorado that we were talking about. And Colorado Springs, I wanted to go to Scotland. And there's some things that we want to go, and we would love to, you know, at some point in the future, go visit. Because you get this normalcy bias. Like, I just want to escape all of this stupidity.
Right.
And I want to take you to a couple cool places in Colorado, you know, outside of Colorado Springs that I've been to and things like that. And just get away from all of this retarded, masked, Karen stuff, right?
Well, and it seems like that should exist, right? Like if we go far away from here, it must be normal somewhere else.
Exactly. Right? I want to go back because my memories that it was still America then.
Right.
And there's still vivid memories. Like everything was like a normal life. It was a good memories. And I just want, you know, I want to take you there. I want to go to Scotland. Just get away from all this. But this is global.
That's right.
Everywhere you go. I mean, you look in England, there are people screaming and yelling and getting each other's faces because someone doesn't have a mask on.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's nowhere in the world. No, that's not true. There are places you can go in the world that aren't at that level of idiocy.
Right.
But it's closing. It's just closing in.
I know. We had places to go.
We had things to do.
Right. And now can we even fly there? I don't even know if we could fly.
We could not even fly there. Maybe charter a flight. Charter a plane,
right?
But everywhere you go, it's Oh, well, first you got to quarantine yourself for 14 days.
Crying out loud.
And then after you're healthy. Don't cough. Don't dare cough.
Don't swallow wrong. Right. You're going to get in big trouble. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, you know, there's one last thing that I wanted to share just really quickly. I was listening to Stephen Pidgeon, who is a constitutional attorney, mm-hmm. and he is suing Governor Inslee of Washington.
Oh, yes.
For this illegal mask mandate. And what he described was that the CDC had initially sent swabs to test for this Chinese virus, right?
Yeah.
So he sent, the CDC sent 850 swabs to Governor Inslee so that they could use them for testing.
To Washington State.
Right. And so the federal government actually tested all of these swabs and they all came back positive for having the Chinese virus on the tip. Because what they were going to do with these swabs was they were instructed to put them up the nasal cavity, right up to there's a thin bone brain barrier
membrane in the
upper portion of the nasal cavity, and you're supposed to swab it way up there, and the virus was already on the tip of every single one of swabs. And
all of them were tainted with COVID-19.
All of them. In fact, they were all tainted from the CDC that went all around the world for these tests. In fact, Africa, they tested theirs. Theirs were all positive for it already, and they hadn't even touched anything, right? And the Africans tested these. They sent in the tests that they swabbed on an animal, and then they swabbed another one on a piece of fruit, a mango.
Oh, yeah.
And so just to see what would happen when they sent these tests in, what were they going to say? Of course, the test came back positive for Chinese virus, and that these two people, animal and mango, right. were tested positive for this Chinese virus.
So a mango and an animal, some livestock, came back COVID positive.
Yeah, positive. And so that shows the validity of what's
going on. No, it doesn't. No, come on now. Yeah, that's conspiracy theory. All that shows is this virus has mutated, and now it's transferable through fruit. Right.
Bats eat fruit, don't they?
Yes. Bats eat fruit. There's the connection.
There it is.
This world is insane.
Well, I think that got the creep factor right up there to me.
Why are people not going to jail? Why are people not going to prison?
How are they still even walking around after that happened?
We have two different worlds.
The federal government tested this stuff, came straight from the CDC. That's a total setup. That is so illegal, especially if they're claiming that this Chinese virus is lethal and they were giving people
850 counts of attempted murder.
Yes, exactly. Those people should be in jail. Every last one of them.
They should be hanging from a rope.
Yeah. That is what person gets away with that?
This is attorney Steve Pidgeon.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of and he was on there with Dr. Jonathan. I can't remember. I was overhearing it in the background.
Yeah.
I know his voice.
Yeah. See,
the doctor.
Steve Pidgeon, he ran for attorney general against Bob Ferguson.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, Bob Ferguson won because had Steve won, the state would be much better off.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
Be a different state.
We would not be like we are today. That's for sure.
Wow. That's some heavy stuff there. It's almost unreal. Unbelievable.
Isn't it all?
Well, okay. Well, let's get this wrapped up. Sheesh. Thank you for sharing this information. I know there's more. The morning commute. You didn't get the stuff put together for a political church episode tonight, correct? You're still researching some
stuff. Right, because there's a case that I'm investigating right now that I couldn't quite get to the bottom of. It was a case where some people from Washington filed a lawsuit against Governor Inslee that is purportedly coming back that he had to admit that he could not enforce this mandate and that he couldn't be sued. He admittedly said that he couldn't be sued for this proclamation and this mask mandate because he's never enforced it. And so
wow.
He knows it's illegal. They all know it's illegal. And that's why they haven't enforced it. So they're letting the businesses try to enforce it through coercion of somebody's got.
Okay, so you're researching.
It's in the middle.
All right, so what we'll do then, we'll go and queue up last week's episode 10, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll queue that up tonight. And then want to invite everyone to join us tomorrow morning and every morning at 7 a.m. Pacific time for the morning commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Yeah. Having a blast with that.
We are.
So we've got some cool stuff to cover then, too.
Yeah. Yep. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, guys, that's a wrap. You just have a blessed rest of the week. We'll be talking to you every morning. Thank you guys for your prayers, for your encouragement, just for being out there. These are very trying times. These are times to try men's souls. We're going to find out what we're made of, what kind of metal we're made of.
That's right. Keep your eye on the Lord, that's for sure.
Absolutely. All right, folks, that's a wrap. So this has been episode 20-27 of The Voice of the American Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and if you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name is your name, too. Good night.